If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is one of my favorite psalms, and I thought it is very appropriate that we would take a look at this today, read it, and get some understanding in light of the dedication of these young ones to the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 16. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Father, I give you thanks for these wonderful and encouraging words. For they tell us wonderful things about you and wonderful things about us. I pray, Lord, that we will have a greater sense of who we are in you as a result of understanding these words. May we be more appreciative of what you've done in creating us and what you've put within us. Open our ears this morning and our hearts to hear and receive your word, and may we take it in and eat it and make it a part of who we are. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And a man was walking through the streets of Kowloon, Hong Kong. Look at all the workers we have downstairs to go downstairs with the kids. We care about your kids. And we make sure that there are enough workers down there to be looking after them. You know, all of them have to go through checks, various checks, so that we make sure that they are qualified to be watching your children. Anyway, before I was rudely interrupted by me, a man was walking through the streets of Kowloon, Hong Kong, and he came upon a tattoo parlor, and he looked into the window, and he saw tattoos of anchors, flags, mermaids, all kinds of things. And then his eyes were fixed on one. It said, Born to Lose. And he began thinking, what kind of person gets that tattoo, Born to Lose? And so he went inside that tattoo parlor. And this is Hong Kong. And he asked the person behind the desk, do people actually get that tattooed on them, Born to Lose? Yes, came the reply. He said, what kind of people do that? What kind of people get a tattoo Born to Lose on them? And the man behind said, before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. Many people today have tattooed negative thoughts and feelings about themselves on them. Invisible tattoos within them. God, however, has different ideas. And because our world sometimes is very, very tough, and we're always feeling like we're being put down, and it might be even more so than ever before. You know, I had to stop on Friday to Center High School. You know, we're involved in CEF, Christian Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we had to get some things straightened out. They had sent us some wrong information. And I was talking to the secretary there, and she said, "It is so bad today." She said, "You would be surprised that so many people put so many negative comments on the internet about the school, about teachers, about everything that goes on." And I know the kids do that. And so we get used to this aspect. All of our life is negative, and we believe these things sometimes that people are shoving down our throat. But God has, again, you know who you are? You know who you are. You're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Theological terms: omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. We're going to take a look at all three of those in light of the verses I read this morning and see. And I want you to see how they apply to you. And I want you to take them in and make them a part of you. So if you have that sermon outline we read this morning, the scripture verses, turn it over on the other side, and hopefully you'll take some notes. I hope you pay close attention and you take these things in today, because I believe they will make you feel better about who you are in life. God knows you. And you say, "Yes, I know." God knows you. I mean, He knows you. He really knows you. He knows all about you. He's omniscient. He's omniscient. What does that mean? It means that God is all-knowing. It means that God is all-knowing. Now, how does that apply with the verses? Look. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." He knows you. He knows when you sit. He knows when you rise. He pays attention when you're getting up. In other words, He pays attention when you're getting up and when you're sitting down. To us, it's nothing. I'm getting up, I'm sitting down. He knows your thoughts. You can't hide your thoughts. You know how I say every so often, I'm so glad that we're not born with the screen that comes out of our spine so that everybody can see every thought that we've ever had. Wouldn't that be terrible that we had a screen coming up like this and everybody can see every thought? Everybody would have that screen covered. You'd be talking to someone and maybe saying, I got to talk to Pastor Stephen. I don't want to talk. And I could see, I saw that. I saw that thought. He knows you're going out and you're lying down. We don't look at it too much, pay too much attention. He's familiar with all. He knows all of your ways. He knows all of your ways. Before you even say it, He knows your words. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. He knows what you're going to say 20, 30 years from now. He knows you. Verse 1, David says, "O Lord, you have searched me. O Lord, you have searched me." And I love this verse because it's in Job 28, that word search. And it means to dig, explore, examine. "O Lord, you have searched me." And in Job 28, it's used of rich metals that are buried in the ground that have to be dug up and explored and examined. And what that is saying to me is that God has put all kind of good stuff in you. He's put rich things in you. And you know what we do because of the life we live? We bury them. We bury them. And so what this is saying is, "Oh Lord, you're searching those things you put in me that I have buried. You're trying to get them out, and I'm trying to keep them down in there." Isn't that true? Because life is hard and we've learned. And so we keep these things down in there and we don't bring them out. What does David say? He goes, wow, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't believe it. I can't believe you put all these things in me that it's taking me so long to discover about myself. These good things you've put in me. And all I see are the bad things about me. Because that's all I hear, the bad things. But you have filled me with all this good stuff. You ever hear of the guillemot? The guillemot is you don't see that around here. It looks like a penguin, but it's not. Guillemot lives in the Arctic region. And I've read where they will get together during mating time, and they will actually lay thousands of eggs. And each female guillemot knows its own egg perfectly. If we were there during that time when they did this, and let's say that Jesse picked up one of those eggs and he ran 200 yards down and put it somewhere else, that female guillemot will know exactly where it is. They know their own egg. No matter where you take it, they know. At times, it feels like we're alone and that God forgets us and has forgotten us. He doesn't. It doesn't. Life is a test. Life is a test. No matter what I'm going through, am I still holding on to Him? Do I still love Him? Do I still trust Him? Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You know, all those children that were up, those babies, God has them all engraved on the palm of His hands. Sandy, your name is engraved on God's hands. Laurie, your name is engraved on God's hands. Even Lou's name is engraved. I know it's hard to believe. On God's hand. For those of you that are visiting, we're only kidding when we say that about Lou. We like to have some fun. Your name is engraved on His hands. When we think He's forgotten us, He does not. I believe that. I hope you believe that. Let me ask you a question before we go. I'm sorry to break this up. Is it a little warm in here? No? Yes? Yes? Michael, I think people are a little warm. God is pursuing you. We're always told that we should pursue God, and we should. But at the same time, God is always pursuing you. You ever feel that? You ever feel that tug? You ever feel that? Or have you gotten so far away that you don't even realize that He's doing that, that He's tugging you? I look back at all the times in my life when I was a good little boy growing up. That's neither here nor there. The times looking back when I fell and my head was underneath the wheel of a car in which a woman had just gotten in and started her car up and she was getting ready to pull out and my head was underneath the wheel. And there were some guys, you know, cool guys back in that time when they stood in front of the store, you know, cool guys. They said, hey, hold it, wait a minute, oh, wait a minute. If it wasn't for those cool guys, my head would have been crushed under there. And so, a number of instances like that, God was there pursuing after me. God is pursuing you. That is the term, God is omnipresent. And that means God is all present everywhere. You can't get away from God. You can't get away from God. Verse 7, David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, what that means, if I go up to the sky, if I were able to go up to the sky where the stars and the moon and the sun, that's what he means by heavens. There are three heavens, Scripture tells us. You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, you're there. You know, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. Adam and Eve tried hiding from God. Jonah tried running from God. Go over here. Okay, I'll go the opposite way. You can't hide from God. There is no hiding from Him. He knows where you are. You can't hide your thoughts from Him. Well, I'm not going to do this because nobody knows. I'm going to do that instead of doing what I should be. Well, God knows. He knows, and He's everywhere. Jeremiah says, can anyone hide in secret places so that I can't see him? This is God speaking. Can anyone hide? Do you think you're hiding from me, God is saying? Do you think I can't see you? Maybe no one else knows. But God does, because He's everywhere. He's everywhere. You know, an atheist came, whether it's a blackboard or those whiteboards or whatever is they're using in school, and he wrote, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. And today in our culture, as you know, I think that so many in our culture are trying to make us believe that God is nowhere. A Christian came along, and he made a little change between the W and the H. And he put a little space in there between the W and the H. He said, God is now here. Just a little space in there changes the whole meaning. It's not God is nowhere. God is now here. Where? If you're a Christian, it's wherever you are. Because if you're a Christian, we're told that He's now living in us. Wow. Wow. God is watching us. A number of years ago, there was a song. I'm probably showing my age. There's a song, and it went something like this. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. Nice song. It was a nice song. Bad theology. Nice song. Bad theology. Cute song, bad theology. He's right with you all the time. He's not that far away. He's not just watching from a distance. He's where you are. He's where you are. And this is, out of the three, this is my favorite part. You are special. God made you special. God made you special. And that is, speaking of God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful and He's almighty. God is all-powerful and almighty. And we see this in these verses with creation. We see this omnipotence of God in creation. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You are no accident. You are no accident. You're not the result of the, you are the result of the attentive, careful, detailed work of God. Michael, you are no accident. Al, you are no accident. Cynthia, you are no accident. You are the result of the attentive, careful, detailed work of God. How do I know that? because he says it in these verses here. God is saying, everything that he's created is wonderful. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That word knit, it means to weave into a complex whole, to unroll. That God, even within the mother's womb, is weaving and unrolling, bringing about the birth of that child within, even before it happens. And that's pretty good. But I like this next part even better. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, which means within, your eyes saw my unformed body. You know how we read scripture sometimes, we don't think about it. His eyes saw your unformed body. Your body wasn't even formed yet, but he saw it. He sees the unformed body of your child even before it's forming. He knows it. But I want to look at the words woven together. It means intricately made with great care, to be embroidered with threads of many colors, and skillfully made. The words woven together are also used in Exodus in referring to the cloths that were used in the worship in the Old Testament. These cloths that were used to make the thread that was used to make the cloths in the Old Testament weren't used for anything else, just for that. And what God is saying there, I am making you with such wonderful care that I am using special threads to make you. And these threads that I am using to make you are so special that I am using special threads for each and every one. Now, you may have a sewing kit at home or a sewing machine, and you only have so many different types of threads. God is saying, there is no limit to the different threads that I have that I use to weave. Nobody here has a sign on them that says, Made in America. Nobody has that sign. You know what sign you have on you if you're a Christian? Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the sign that you have on you if you're a Christian. Fearfully and wonderfully made. David says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, maybe you came here today thinking, or maybe you've been thinking this a long time, I'm ugly. I'm dumb. I'm this. I'm that. Well, have you looked at my legs lately? They are bow-legged. And there's nothing I can do about that. My dad was bow-legged. I'm bow-legged. That used to bother me as a kid. And so I used to purposely kind of, because of that, I would purposely try to walk and make sure my feet were straight because I was so conscious of that. I'm bothered. I don't worry about that stuff. Or anything else. My ears aren't too big. Are they, Bob? If you came here today thinking, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not handsome enough, I wish my nose were smaller, I wish I didn't have this, I wish I could look beautiful like so-and-so or handsome like that, guess what you have to do? You're in an argument with God. Because God said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said, I used the finest materials to make you. If you don't like the way you look and the thing that you have, then what you're saying, what you're saying to God is, you made a mistake in creating me. You made a mistake. I don't want to say that to God. My legs are beautiful. I have beautiful legs, don't I? So if you're thinking those things, if you came here today thinking, I'm not pretty, I'm not handsome, I don't look the way I would want to look. Then you have an argument with God because he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I made you with the finest threads I could possibly make. But we live in such a time when we have everybody's different idea. You go to that culture, they'll say, this is beautiful. You go to that culture, they'll say, this is beautiful. You go to this culture, they'll think that's beautiful. All kind of different things, all kind of different piercings and everything else you'll see if you travel over different parts of the world. But God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I made you the way I wanted because it's for you and you are special. So don't ever say, don't ever think, I wish I were this way. I wish I were that way. I wish I looked like this. I wish I looked like that. I wish I were better looking. I wish I had more hair. And all those other things. Because God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And your argument then is with him if you don't like that. Take a look at this. I showed this about 7 years ago. And Tom, if you can put that video on and then turn these lights off so everybody can see it real good. Yahweh is God's name.
God, dip it in the colors of my life. Paint your picture, Father, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And take your fingers, God, master potter, come mold the clay, tell your story. As you mold me, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And write your name in the clay. And sign your name on the picture, and write your name in the clay. And sign your name on the picture. Pick me up like a paintbrush. Dip it in the colors of my life. Paint your picture, Father, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And take your fingers, God, master potter, tell your story as you mold me, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And write your name in the clay. And sign your name on the picture. And write your name in the clay. And sign your name on the picture.
You are God's masterpiece. It's not about what you're feeling. You don't have to feel like you're something. You don't have to feel that, oh, boy, look what I am. God says you're his masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not about what some group or culture says is pretty or beautiful. It's what God says. And he says, I have knit you and woven you together. I have used my finest threads to make you, and you are a masterpiece. And he's saying, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Forget about all the things that people say. You are God's masterpiece. You are. Musicians. And because of that, we want to be people who are constantly giving thanks to God and exalting him because he has given his finest to make us. Will you please stand?